We want to talk about the value of influence. Sometimes, you know, we don't realize how much influence we may have on someone's life. And there's going to be good and bad influence. Sometimes we don't realize the influence that we may have on somebody, even when we don't mean it. Even when we don't think they're looking or paying attention to us. And I think, you know, we could all do a good job of always reminding ourselves there's somebody maybe watching, even we don't think they are. We go to many places. I know, like I work in an automotive shop and come into contact with a lot of people out in the world. And sometimes work gets stressful. And sometimes you're not the greatest influence as you can be. You can have a bad attitude, which is not a very good influence on those. So we always need to be cautious of our attitude and the way that we can influence others. And influence can go a long way. We're going to get our lesson text out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like you all to follow along and make sure the things that we're saying is so. And if there's something I get wrong, please tell me. I do make mistakes. So just let me know. And if you have a Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start in the beginning of this chapter, and we're going to read down a few verses. It says in verse 1, it says, "And it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily have been absent in body, but present in spirit, I have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And that's where we're going to get our lesson from, you know, just talking about the value of influence. You know, so they had a man here with a fornication, and, you know, they were puffed up. They were not, not mourned about the situation. They were, you know, going to let it keep going on and not put them out. But, you know, Paul says here, you know, that, you know, it'd be barely absent in body and present concerning that he has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for destruction of the flesh, that my spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know, so, you know, they were letting that go on. You know, they were letting it go. They had fornicators there, and they were puffed up. They didn't want to do anything about it. But, you know, Paul says there in verse 6, you know, your glorying is not good. Know that the little leaven the whole lump. But, you know, that's one thing, you know, you talk about like having a bad seed, and a bad seed corrupt the whole plant, corrupt the whole thing. You know, it don't take much. Sometimes when we get in situations, we come to realize that when we come to workplaces, you know, sometimes you get one person that is a really bad influence, it can affect the whole group, affect everybody. And we understand that, you know, it's just one person, and it can be good or bad. And it says in verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, that ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." You know, so he's saying to purge out the old leaven. And you know, leaven in the Bible is normally compared to evil. So he says, purge it out, therefore you be a new lump. You know, and that's what we need to do if we're in that situation. You know, because influence can affect a lot of people. Our first point this afternoon is going to be on the power of influence, and it's going to be, you know, no one goes to heaven or hell alone. You know, there's many that, you know, teach false doctrines and you know, lead folks down the wrong road. You know, many will believe a lie. So we understand that, you know, influence is very powerful, you know, in both ways, good and evil. Our first verse that we'd like to read out of is out of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And in Matthew, this verse here is, you know, talking about leaven. In this case, leaven is actually good. Most time in the Bible, when they talk about leaven, it's compared to evil. But in Matthew 13, verse 33, it says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of a meal till the whole was leavened. You know, in this point, they're talking about leaven as good. You know, it's talking about the kingdom. You know, if you really think about the apostles, you know, when they first went out preaching the gospel, they were very small. But, you know, they had to go teach to the whole world. You know, and the kingdom of God was enlarged greatly. And, that, you know, we see that in our communities as well. We've seen it kind of go away and come back and different things, you know, just by a few folks that can start it and get it going, you know. And that's what this is talking about, you know. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, you know. Hit 3 measures in the meal till the whole thing was leaven. And like I said, and that's comparing leaven to good, where normally in the Bible, leaven is compared to evil. So, you know, it can be powerful to make a lot of people change, a lot of people influence. And like I said, we have to be careful. It can go both ways, evil and good. We're going to read down in a few verses, in a few topics, and a few points. We're going to get to more examples of both and understand. I'm going to give examples of evil and good. I'd like to flip to the Old Testament in Hosea. We're going to get another passage I'd like to read. In Hosea chapter 4, in the beginning of this chapter, you know, it starts talking about the priest. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but the priest, there was no knowledge of God in the land here. Many of them had fallen away. In verse 2, it says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, and they break out, and the blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. With the beast of the field and with the fowl of the heaven, yea, the fishes and the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor approve another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. You know, so the priest had gone wicked. They had no knowledge of God here. And the priests were, in that time, were charged teaching these folks, teaching the people of the land, teaching Israel. But, you know, in verse 9, this is the verse I want to read about. It said, and there shall be like people, like priests, that will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. You know, so, you know, they were an evil influence on the people just because they had no knowledge. They had no knowledge of God, and they weren't teaching the right things to the people. So they were, that was an evil way, and a lot of them probably led to destruction. So we can, you know, have the power of influence in both directions. We can be evil and be good, and hopefully we're on the good side. Hopefully we're doing the things that be a good influence, teaching those the gospel and the baptism and all the things that need to be done in this life while we have time. You know, so as an evil influence that, you know, they didn't know because they didn't have the knowledge of God and they had fallen away. So evil influences, there's quite a few examples, and I would like to first read out of 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. You know, and that's a simple verse that, you know, I think a lot of times, especially the younger generation and including myself, at times before I had obeyed the gospel, can be guilty of. You can hang around the wrong crowd, and it's not just young folks and young people. But, you know, it's saying, be not deceived. You can be deceived even if you think that you're not like them. Even if you think that you are better, you act better and treat folks better. It's saying evil communication grows good manners, you know. So, you know, if you're hanging around the wrong crowd, eventually they're going to get you in some trouble. And we know probably many folks in our lives have kind of gone down the wrong road, hung around the wrong crowd. And that's what, you know, sometimes you get. Some more examples of evil influences would be Eve. Eve, in the book of Genesis, you know, she didn't mean it, but she did. She did. She sinned, and she did wrong. And in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read in verse 6, It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that we read back in chapter 2, was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. You know, and, you know, Eve was an evil influence to Adam. And that's how sin entered into the world, as we spoke this morning. And Eve was a bad influence on Adam, and it was just a bad situation what Eve had done. I'd also like to read out of Matthew, the 14th chapter. In Matthew 14, we read about Herod, King Herod. And in verse 3, and Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. We're going to come back to that verse in just a second. In verse 6, it said, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she said, and she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head and a charger. And the king was sorry. You know, we go back to that verse a minute ago. It said, you know, when he said it was in verse 5, he said, when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude. Herod feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. He didn't want to put John to death. He didn't want to kill John. But, and we read on down, and verse 9 says, the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. He had promised to give her whatever she wanted. And then, them that which sat with him at meat, them also had an evil influence on Herod to give John the Baptist head and a charger. They wanted to hold John Baptist as a trophy. That's what she wanted his head for. And these were evil examples and evil influences that made folks do bad decisions. And that, you know, that's another example that we have of evil influences. And then we also read, you know, in Matthew 16, verse 6, you know, Jesus warned of the influence of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We know that, you know, they were lawyers of the law, and they a lot of times were not, you know, didn't follow it very well. In Matthew 16, verse 6, it says, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When they first heard this, they didn't know exactly what they were talking about, but Jesus warned them. Well, as we read down farther in verse 12, it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, he's bewaring them of the influence that they had on the folks. You know, they had a lot of influence. There was a lot of them. And they had the influence on the people. So we understand that, you know, we can have evil influences, and sometimes we don't even realize it. You know, sometimes people think they're doing good, but they're just far from the truth, you know. They rather, you know, teach the commandments of men rather than the commandments of the Bible. So that's, you know, we gotta be aware of that. We also must guard against the influence of religious bodies. We read in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know, so a lot of times, you know, whatever we have in our, we cherish and what we love and do, that's what matters to us. You know, if it matters to us to be at church and like today, to come to the meeting, and we made the effort to be here this morning, you know, if we do that, we know that we're trying to do the right thing. But many, you know, out in the world, they do not want to do that. They're more worried about other things. They're worried about what they can do. Some of them are fishing today. Some are doing whatever they like to do. And we got to, you know, whatever's important to you, you're going to keep it close to your heart, and you're going to make sure that you do it. And that's what you're going to do. You know, and like what we read and see, a lot of you, of us, you know, go out in the world and see different things. You know, the things that we watch on TV, the music we hear, just social media, all the things that we see have an effect on us. We have to guard against what we do and what we see on these things, because it does influence us. I can say to myself, I had to delete some of my stuff because it was just not good for me to have. I felt like it did not do me any good. So, you know, sometimes that's what we got to do. You know, it says, you know, you got to, if your eye offends thee, plug it out. If your arm offends thee, cut it off, whatever. You know, we have things that we have to get rid of sometimes that influences us in the wrong way. So we need to be aware of that. Then we also have righteous influences. We're going to go to some good influence, you know, and I want to say that we all have a gospel. We all write our own gospel here on earth. The short period of time that we are here on earth, we are writing our own gospel. To leave behind to those that, you know, we love, and if Jesus doesn't come back and people are still here, they're going to be talking about things that we did. I mean, that's what we want them to do, and we hope it's good. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'd like to read out of chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother, and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also." So Paul saying here that, you know, he remembered the unfeigned faith that's in Timothy, but it first dwelt with his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois. You know, so, you know, Paul had great respect and knew that the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother was great. And it had an influence on Paul. And, you know, it had an influence on Timothy because Timothy grew up with the same unfeigned faith. So we understand that, you know, that's a righteous influence. They had a good influence on young Timothy, and I think Paul had a very good influence on Timothy as well. In 1 Peter, I'd like to flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and this is talking about wives, it said, "Likewise, your wives, be in subjection of your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives." So, you know, our wives can be, you know, a good influence on us, on our husbands and those that we love. And especially it's saying right there, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. So you can be won by the conversation of our wives. You know, wives can be a good influence. I can especially say that about Lydia. She has definitely helped me through the years of helping me to teach and preach the few times I've had the opportunity to do so. So, you know, it's very good to have somebody that, you know, you marry that is a good influence and helps you do these things. And I'm very thankful for her. And then we'd like to also talk about Paul. And I'm probably going to talk more about Paul than anybody else in this on this lesson. Paul had a saving influence wherever he went. We read a lot about Paul and his saving influence in Acts. But, you know, he wrote many books in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 27, I want to start in verse 21 and 22. It says, "But after a long..." They were on a ship. Paul was prisoner at this time. And they were traveling when they get in a storm. But in verse 21, "But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." You know, so the ship has gone into a bad storm and is getting very dangerous. You read later that they start throwing things over the ship, trying to lighten the ship and get rid of things. And a lot of them are scared of what may happen in this voyage. Many are thinking they may lose their lives. But, you know, Paul said that. And in verse 22, it says, "And now I exhort you to be good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So Paul being a prisoner in this instance, is still having a saving influence on those that are in charge of him, that's holding him prisoner. And Paul is trying to be a good cheer. You don't hear that many times, you know, you probably won't hear that today when somebody's a prisoner. I was trying to be a good cheer. And we read later in verse 33, says, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall off the head of any of you." You know, so Paul is telling them to take eat. They haven't eaten 14 days. He's telling them to eat. He prays to take them some meat. And he says, "There shall not be a hair fall off your head." You know, and to these people on the boat and the captains of the boat and all the folks on the boat. And Paul is still trying to give them what they want, you know, trying to be a good influence. Read on down in verse 35. It says, "And when they had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks and gave to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And there were they, they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And when we were in all the ship, 260 souls." I went too far, but they were all of good cheer. In verse 36, you know, it says, "Then they were of all good cheer." So Paul was giving them encouragement that they were going to make it on this voyage, and being a saving influence. And then in verse 40. It says, "And when they had taken the anchors and committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder band and hoisted up the mainsail into the wind and made toward shore, the falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And a forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which were could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land." So, you know, in this time, the people in charge of the prisoners, if the prisoner escaped or anything like that, their life would be, their punishment would be equal to whatever the prisoners was. So, you know, they thought, you know, when the prisoners, they could escape, they were going to just kill him. But the centurion of this ship did not want to do that because of Paul. And Paul's saving influence, the influence that Paul had throughout the whole voyage to get them to where they were going. You know, Paul, you know, it says there, and the soldier's counsel was to kill the prisoner unless any of them should quit swim out. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim could cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. You know, and they all made it to, in verse 44, and it says, and the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So Paul, throughout this whole voyage, you know, he had seen an angel that told him that, you know, they were going to make it. But he was a good cheer and a good influence to this whole boat. And when it came down to the very end, where most of the time this situation, they would have killed these prisoners. They would have killed them because they were afraid that they would escape. But he had such a good influence on the centurion, he told them, "Hold up, don't do so." We also read Paul had a saving influence in jail. We read that in Acts 16. You know, Paul and Silas is in jail, and you know, the same thing in prison. You know, so a lot of times, you know, you would think, a lot of these prisoners, you would think, you know, have done something wrong, which Paul had not. He had just been preaching the gospel. But, you know, prison can make you down on yourself. But Paul and Silas are not the way. And Acts 16, verse 25, it says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. The same thing, you know, the keeper of the prison, he'd been asleep, wakes up, all the doors are open, sees all the prisoners. Doors are open and their chains and things have come loose, that he was going to do the same thing. You know, that was going to be his fate. that he was probably died. But Paul then cried out in verse 28. It says, Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. You know, so, you know, Paul says, hold up, you know, don't do it, because we're all here. We're still here. And, you know, think about the influence that he had on the other prisoners, for all of them to stay as well, you know. Paul, you know, had it be a great influence even on those, just through the songs that they were singing and all the things that they were doing. And Paul was just, you know, very influential in this situation. But he said, and they spake unto him that the word of the Lord that, I didn't got too far. And they brought them out. Okay, verse 29 says, then they called for a light and sprang in, and they came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, and this was the keeper of the prison. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So, you know, the keeper of the prison, he had an influence just to keep him from killing himself, but then turned around and baptized him and his house. Paul being a prisoner. And who knows what the prisoner, keeper of the prison knew of Paul, knew what Paul was in there for. But, you know, he had the ability to influence him being a prisoner. But Paul had also a saving influence in Acts 28. We read in Caesar's household. You know, when they get the when the ship came, they came to Rome in Acts 28, verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, I'm in the wrong verse. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, you know, Paul was being in Rome at this time, and dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. And he continued preaching, you know, he continued preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This is in, you know, Caesar's household. And we read that later in Philippians chapter 4 that, you know, he says in chapter 4, verse 22, he said, all the saints salute you, chiefly that they that are in Caesar's household. How do you think them saints got in Caesar's household? I'm pretty sure it's probably from Paul being there. But there were saints there. Even in Caesar's household of Rome, which were not, you know, probably not what you would think many saints would be at that time, Paul had a very great influence to be there and made saints in Caesar's household. And it is a commandment also to be a good influence. It's not really optional. It's not that we choose or that we should choose. We should be a good influence no matter what we do. In Matthew chapter 5, we read about this a little bit more. In verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know, I heard Hunter preach about this verse or talk about this verse. You know, talking about when you had salt and you put some salt on your food. We know we all like to put some salt on there. And if you couldn't taste it, you're going to keep up dumping more salt on there. But after a while, it ain't no good. Then you're going to throw it away. You know, it ain't no good. So same thing. We should be salt of the earth. You know, we should be an influence to those that we come in contact with. We read also in verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world, the city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but to on a candlestick and give his light unto all that are in the house. You know, we also, you know, are commanded to be a light. You know, should be, you know, a light to our communities. And many could see us. You know, we don't want to be If they can't see us and they don't know us, how can we be an influence? But I also want to say that, you know, sometimes our influence can be done by the things they see that we do. So we got to be a good influence. Like I said, it's not optional. You don't want to be one day a good influence and say, nah, not today. I don't want to be a good influence today. It needs to be every day that we are commanded to be a good influence. And then I also want to say that, you know, our influence lives on after we're dead. You know, we know that we have people in our lives that have gone on and passed from this life that we still look back as good examples and have influence on the things that we do today. You know, we think about them from time to time and think about the things that they taught us, things that they did for us and the influence that they had even on others. You know, people, our influence is going to go on after us, after we're dead, and that's what we want, and we want it to be good. In Revelation chapter 14, I'm going to read out verse 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You know, so it's saying even the dead, you know, their works do follow them. You know, and that's what we want to do. We want to do when we're gone from this life, and as we preach this morning, you know, death is uncertain. I mean, it's certain. We don't know when it will come. You never know when death will come. But we want to have a good influence. We want a good reputation. We want a reputation that, you know, we are speaking the truth, living a Christian life, being a good example of those even that, you know, don't realize that they're watching us. You know, I always, you know, we have a young brother in the church back at home. He says all the time in his prayers, you know, we may be the only Christian in someone's life. And you never know that you might be. You very well could be somebody, the only Christian in somebody's life, and that the only example that they have of a Christian. And you definitely don't want to be a bad example. You want to be a good example. We want to be able to teach and teach them the gospel and help save souls before it's everlasting too late. So, you know, the value of influence is very powerful. And we see that throughout all our works and all our in our communities. You know, we know folks that we know that have evil influences that's cause people to go the wrong way. Teach folks a lie, and people will believe it sometimes. But also, we want to be a good influence, because a good influence can affect the lives of many. You know, people think, you know, I'm just one lonely soul right here, and I don't have much influence, but that's just so far from the truth, that we can have influence to help others and many others in our communities. And sometimes we don't have the courage to say the things that we probably should say. I can say myself, there's times where I think I could say things that could help, and I don't do it. And it's something I work on. But I always want to try to be the good example. And I know there's something I could work on as far as just being a better influence. And sometimes we think back on the things that we do from our day-to-day lives and realize sometimes that wasn't probably the best example, and that probably wasn't the best look. But you never know when somebody's looking. Sometimes, especially the younger. You know, sometimes the younger look up to folks, to the older folks, that older brethren and things. You don't realize what kind of effect that you may have on them and the influence that you can have on their lives. You know, you don't want to be a bad influence and turn them away from the gospel and the Bible. But, you know, if we can be a good influence from the early age, we can teach them in the right way. So that's, you know, that's what I want to talk about this afternoon. You know, and I think this meeting's been great. I think it's helped me. I got a little off there for a few minutes, but it's been good. I liked to hear Brother Andrew last night. I think he did a good job. I appreciate all the opportunity to come back and hopefully have me back to preach again. And thankful Brother Allen and all the people here that gave me the opportunity to come up here and speak. And just pray that everything was done in a way that was a useful and a good lesson. And so, you know, we've heard the gospel preached this weekend. We know in order to be saved, there's many things that we need to do. when there's things we have to obey, first we have to hear the gospel. We've heard that this week. And it says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we have to believe. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Then we have to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then we have to confess, as the eunuch did in Acts 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we need to be baptized, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Them are the five steps of salvation. Many, many religious bodies out in the world will not teach you these things and leave baptism out. But as it says, there's nowhere in there that it says that you will be saved without baptism. And we also had to be faithful unto death, as it says in Revelation 2:10, that we may receive a crown of life. I encourage y'all to come as we stand and sing and the song that had been chosen.